Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today our guest is Dave Morrow. Dave is a returning guest. He was on a couple of years ago. We were talking before we started recording about how long it's been. And Dave is a Canadian veteran. He's a passionate advocate for veterans' physical and mental well-being. He's also the host of the Hard to Kill podcast, and he's launching a new fitness and health community. And he's working hard on his upcoming book. And we're going to talk about all that stuff, and he's got other stuff in the pipeline. I'm sure he's got tons to talk about today. So stay tuned for that. But first, Dave, welcome to the show. Really glad to have you here. Glad to have you back first.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. And when I realized I need to get back on the talking circuit because I got things in the pipeline, you're one of the first guys I reached out to. And partly because, you know, like it's not easy to stay in the podcast game. You know, like you said, you've been at this for 5 years. I've been at this for 5 years. Most fall by the wayside. So if you've got legs in this game, that means you got a good audience. That means you like what you're doing. And so it's a pleasure to be back on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a pleasure to have you here on the show, too. I think last time we had a great conversation. And we talked about fitness and things like that. We talked a little hockey. No, I don't think any podcast with a Canadian on it is going to be complete without talking a little
hockey. No, you're actually not allowed. It's a law. It's a law for us Canadians. If you don't ask, we go to jail. Literally, yeah.
So I had to save you from, you know, the gulag or whatever it was up there, right?
Mm-hmm. Canadian gulag, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess let's just start off. I mentioned the fitness and health community in the intro a little bit. Tell us about it. Tell us, you know, kind of what it's called and what people can expect from it and kind of how you got to where you are now with this community.
Absolutely, Scott. Well, again, thanks for having me on. And to start things all off, really everything started by accident. And I was injured when I deployed in 2010. Nothing insane. I wasn't knee deep in grenade pins or anything like that. I just hurt my back and I hurt my knee. And because of it, it led to my medical release from the military. And during that process, I didn't take care of myself. But when it got so bad that I couldn't get out of bed and I couldn't take care of my kids, it was time for a change. So my book, which is literally right behind me right there. So that's my first book. I got another book coming out. We'll talk about that later. They called The Nimble Warrior was basically a step-by-step of what I did to reduce my back and knee pain so that I could just do stuff again and be an active dad and compete in sports. Because before that, it was bad. And I didn't know when the next flare-up would happen, and the pain was just incredible. So I started doing that, and I started helping other troops out either prevent it from happening. So injuries, which, you know, musculoskeletal injuries are one of the main reasons why, especially infantry guys like myself, get injured and get out. Or, like in my case, just mitigate injuries. So That being said, that kind of led to a coaching business because guys in my unit were asking me for advice on coaching and building them coaching plans. And some of the guys wanted to do special forces stuff. I really wasn't qualified, in my opinion, to coach guys to get on selection, but turns out that a bunch of them did. So I had some early success. That was great. But then I realized I really wanted to work with the veteran population because a lot of us were hurting. And for me, I see the veteran population as the next greatest generation. So I recognize I have a certain skill set and I can only affect what I know and I can only teach what I know. So what I know, I knew fitness, I knew how to convey it online, and I've gotten through the pain of being injured. So I want to be able to just convey that message that life's not over. You can get back after it. You just might have to modify some things, and this is how you do it. And starting there is basically how I grew my business and how I started the podcast as well to, you know, get great guests on and talk about health, fitness, nutrition, et cetera. And it's kind of positioned me as one of the few guys that's talking about veteran health and fitness issues. And so I take it really seriously. And so that's why I've been in the game now for 5 years. And now the community, which grew out of the business because initially it was just for clients. I had a Facebook group. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with it, but then I opened it up to everybody. And over the last few years, there's a few thousand people in it. And we discuss health and fitness related topics, do some workouts, do some lives, et cetera. But I noticed there's limitations within Facebook, and the name of the group was Veterans Getting Fit AF. There were some limitations, namely, I wasn't able to use Facebook for a long time for business reasons. And it's likely due to some of my political views. Not that I got the confirmation or not, but it is what it is. So sure. It just became kind of a dead platform for me for a long time. So I had to come up with a new solution. Like any good infantry NCO, you got to adapt and overcome. So I found a new platform, and being a teacher by trade, because that was going to be my career post-military, was teaching high school science. I did it for about 6 years after leaving the military. I like when people learn stuff. I like when the light bulb goes on. I like pulling together information and conveying it as knowledge to the masses, one might say. And the veteran community right now, from what I can see, is they're information rich. However, their application poor. So there's so much information, but it's really hard to apply any of it because you're just inundated. So my job is to dumb it down, bring it to like the infantry NCO level of understanding. Do this three-step thing and you'll be all right. So the group tries to convey those messages as much as possible. I coach in the group too, twice a week. I have all my programs there, so you can follow along at your own pace. And the goal is to bring that level of education, knowledge, and support in the community at a very, very, very low price point, where I like to say it's less than your Timmy's Double Double, which is a coffee with two creams and two sugar here per day. So the goal is to really democratize health and fitness as much as possible so that it's not for those that make X amount of dollars. It's really available to the masses at a low price point and get you the knowledge that you need so that you can actually get leaner, fitter, and harder to kill, which is what my ultimate goal is.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful goal, because I think there, to your point, using you as an example, there are so many people out there who are injured, and there are ways to get better or to recover from that injury that don't involve costly surgeries or medications, or, you know, and not to say that, you know, there are people who do need those, obviously, those types of things, but there's some people who just kind of fall into the trap of like, I'll just go with whatever the doctor's saying. And the doctor isn't pushing a fitness program necessarily, right? And that's kind of I at least here in the States, like, we just, I think the medical system here is a bunch of crap, but that's, I'm not going to get into politics here and all that kind of stuff.
Too late, Scott. You're already all in, man. I'm all in. Agree, man. It does definitely sucks.
But you mentioned before how you kind of dumb this stuff down. And I think maybe dumbing it down isn't maybe the right way to look at it. It's the amount of information, like you said, is there. Everybody has access to the information. If you're listening to this now, you clearly have access to the internet, and you can go search and find information. But when you get that information, it's like drinking from a fire hose. It's so much information all at once that, you know, like, what do you do with all that? And how do you apply it to your life? And you got to take it step by step and make small gains at first. And then those smaller gains lead to bigger gains and bigger, bigger, bigger. And I'm not saying you're going to be Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, ripped, like, you know, fit like that. Or you could, if you put the time and effort into it, but that may not be the goal for you. The goal is to get better at, you know, that I think should be the goal for everybody with anything, is just get better. And whether that's recovering from an injury or whether that's being able to lift more, it's not, I want to be able to lift X amount of weight. It's, I want to get better. And that's how you eventually will get to that, whatever that X is for you. But that's what you're doing, is you're kind of filtering through all the noise and saying, here's what you need to focus on. And, you know, whether it's nutrition, whether it's, you know, fitness, you know, things like that, whatever it is, this is what you got to focus on, and just focus on that. And you kind of block out the noise. You're kind of like there's a meme where there's like a, you know, a parent like guarding the child from all this crap coming from the world, all the media and all the, this other stuff coming in. And you're like just filtering it out and just giving them what they need kind of thing. Right.
Correct. So yeah, I mean, I think we all grew up in the, at least maybe it's just not anything, but KISS, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of school. I did a lot of university, but it's useless if you can't convey the message to the people you actually want to convey the message to. Right. And, you know, university profs are always guilty of this too, or let's say like even officers, right. I was an officer as well. So I get it. When you can't you can't convey a complex message in simple terms. It doesn't matter how much education you have. You still want it to be explained at, like, explain it to me like I'm a 6-year-old. Because if you can't do that, then maybe you don't understand it well enough. So there's guys like Andrew Huberman, Peter Attia, all these guys, they're great. I listen to them all the time. But if anybody out there has listened to them, it may be a little bit too much to comprehend. There's a lot of science behind it. If you don't have a science background at all, talking about things like just mitochondria, you're like, man, I didn't pay attention to grade 9 science. Oh, shit. What is that? You know, like now you're lost. Right. So now you try to catch up. So what I try to do is really take my science background. So I did a degree in biochemistry and I have a degree in teaching. So how do I bring these topics in a bite-sized format? So you don't need to understand everything. You just need to understand like this one thing to kind of turn the light bulb on as to the why. If you understand the mm-hmm. why, it makes things a lot easier. And to give an example of just what I like to do and kind of like your intro to my method is it's the world's easiest workout plan. And it's 3 steps. You need 0 equipment. You basically need eyes, ears, and motivation. If you have that, you can do this program because you don't need a calorie count. You don't need to grab any fitness equipment. You just need to do 3 simple things. And one of them is just do something for 20 minutes every day that's active. It could be walking, could be gardening, could be playing with the kids. Doesn't matter. Drink a little bit more water than you're used to and don't eat anything past 7 p.m. Like that is it. And you just need to do that literally every day. Check it off on a sheet and that's it. Like I just gave you the secret sauce and you can be down 2 pounds in a week just by doing that. But if you take in all the information, you go like, yeah, but do I have to do keto? Do I have to intermittent fast? Like how many reps do I have to do? Dude, no, none of that. Like, did you hear me? Do those 3. But a lot of people think that because they've been fed the message that it's complicated. We don't know why people get obese. That's not true. We do know. We know exactly what it is. Most people are really inactive. Veterans are super guilty of this. Veterans, especially the ones, the GWAT veterans, they're more obese by about 5% than the average population. And the contributing factors are, well, injuries, psychological issues. And that compounds itself. So the less you do, the less you want to do. So just the act of getting outside and walking, for a lot of us, and I'm guilty of this, I didn't want to accept that in order for me to recover, I just need to go for a walk. I wanted to go to the CrossFit gym and grip and rip. But dude, no, you can't. Like you're not even close to being there. I was overweight. I felt like crap. So swallowing your ego and realizing maybe I'm just at the walking phase in my life right now. And yeah, maybe I was a paratrooper. Maybe I was an assaulter. Maybe I was jumping out of planes all the time. Yeah, that was then, but you're not doing that now. Maybe you're in your 40s. Right. You got like 3 kids at home. You got a career. Are you going to be able to go to the gym 5 days a week and train? No, but can you do 20 minutes a day and do some light activity? Cool. That's it. Can you drink an extra, I don't know, liter of water, or sorry, half gallon of water a day? Yeah. And you just thought, and if you're hungry and you didn't eat enough by 7 p.m., well, too bad, so sad. Eat some more tomorrow so you're not as hungry, but just shut your mouth and don't eat anything past 7 p.m. If you can just stick to those principles and do it consistently for a month, I guarantee you, you're going to be different. And that's what the folks are doing in my group at the base level before anything else. And once you can do that, then you can progress. Then you can do some more advanced stuff. Then you can start considering, maybe I want to do intermittent fasting. Okay, cool. But until you get there, you need to really do the basics and do them well. And consistency is king is basically what I say.
Yeah, I think consistency with anything is going to give you the results that you're looking for. If you're not consistently, you know, just even 20 minutes of activity, like walking, if you're not doing that consistently every day, and you're like, oh, this Dave guy's full of shit. You know, like,
I just need to go for a walk. This guy's a trainer. This is fucking bullshit. I knew that. Right. It's like, yeah, but you don't do it. So then what do you want me to say? You know,
Exactly. So if you do it like, you know, once, twice, okay, well, that's not it. That's not what you're suggesting here. You're telling people, go get out there and do it consistently day after day after day. No excuses. No, it's 20 minutes. If you can't find 20 minutes, I'm sorry. Like you've got your priorities screwed up. Like wake up 20 minutes earlier. It's not that difficult, you know?
Well, just to interrupt you, Scott, like the reason why I wanted to really focus on this group so much is because I would get so many folks that thought it was one-on-one coaching that they needed. And we would go and we build out the program and we would do the nutrition and we would do the training and we do progressions and we do. But at the end of the day, it was too much. It was too overwhelming. It was way too advanced. And the overwhelming majority of veterans that needed to work with me only needed that three-step program for at least a month, maybe two, to just get the gears turning. Because I have not come across a single veteran that, like you said earlier, wants to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Those days are done. That is 7 days a week in the gym,
right?
4 hours a day going hard. And in your 40s, you're never going to look like that. So why would you want to do that? Because most just want to A, be in less pain, B, live a happier, healthier life, and C, maybe look, you know, relatively okay when they're at the beach with their family, so that their wives are like, that's my husband. See him? He's got like a 2-pack. That's him. He looks ripped, eh? That's it. That's all we want.
I would be good with a 2-pack. That would be great.
yeah. Yeah. Same.
But it's a good point because, you know, when you're thinking about it, like you see these other guys, sometimes if you go to the gym, you see these guys who are ripped. They got the muscles on muscles and they're just like, and then like you get there and then you see them walking out. It's like, man, I got to keep going because I got to get to that. And it's like, you're not going to have 4 hours. If you got kids at home and a you know, wife and a career and a, you know, you don't have 4 hours to spend in the gym. I get that. You know, but doing that first bit that you were talking about, the 20 minutes of walking and kind of just taking it slow at first, is, we had, I don't know if you guys had the same thing in the Canadian military, but we call it the crawl, walk, run phase. Whenever you're learning something new, you gotta learn how to crawl before you can learn how to walk, and then you can run with it. You know, we all know how to crawl, and sometimes our knees may not allow us to crawl anymore, but you know, we can go for a walk. You know, we can get out and just go walk, or like you said, garden or something, do something physical for 20 minutes. And that's in the walk phase. And you gotta re-earn the right to get up to the run phase. Right. You can't just expect that you're going to, you know, as a 40-year-old guy, be able to just jump right back into what you're doing when you're 20, you know, like that, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. Like in your head, you might think it works that way, but it doesn't just work that way. Especially if you had, you know, 15, 20 years of not taking care of yourself, you know?
Right. It's managing expectations, right? And defining what your goals are. If you can define what you actually want to do, because your why makes all the difference. Just like anything in life, if you don't know why you're doing it, like if you just go to a 9-to-5 career every day, but you don't know why you're doing it, it makes you miserable because you don't know why you're getting up to do this thing. Is it just for money? Okay, but what's the money for? You know, just keep on asking, why do I need the money? You know, and then same with fitness. If you don't know why, but overwhelmingly, especially, I mostly work with men. So when I say guys, I literally mean guys. They have families, and they want to set the example for their kids, because we know the research is very clear, especially dads. If you are obese. If you are out of shape, you're creating the conditions for your kids to be obese and out of shape. And that's an early death sentence. We know that because that leads to type 2 diabetes, that leads to metabolic disease. That's not a good thing. And none of us want our kids to be sick. Just like we don't say, hey, buddy, like you want to try some smokes? You know, like we don't right. do that. So why would we do that with our fitness and health? You know, and we, a lot of us have lost kind of the idea of like what it means to be quote unquote healthy. And we try our best, and it's not for a lack of trying. I had a really big paradigm shift years ago because my initial mentality was, dude, just get off the couch and get your shit together. Like typical army NCO type mentality. But then I realized, no, most people are grinding and they're not losing weight. They're not getting healthier. So what's going on? How is this even possible? And it was a TED talk that I heard by Peter Attia, who's a Canadian doctor, and some folks that are listening might know who he is. He's got a new book out. He's prolific online, and I listen to his stuff a lot. And he was of that same opinion because he would treat folks that were just obese, overweight. Obviously, they just need to lose weight and their diabetes would get cleared up, but they wouldn't. And he just thought it was laziness. But then he realized mm-hmm. after he became metabolically broken, and he's a elite athlete, he realized, oh, something must be off here. How am I pre-diabetic? And he went really kind of dark for a little bit and then had to come up with a solution. And then his whole tune changed. And when I heard that, I was like, yeah, that's true. There's something going on here that's not normal in terms of like the generations that have come before us. The generations that came before us didn't have all these metabolic diseases. They weren't obese. Well, they were, but not like we are now. Right. You know, they were lean, they were fit. They didn't have the same levels of heart disease. So with all of these interventions and all these doctors and all these pills, how are we worse than our previous generations? And how do we continually get worse? This doesn't make any sense. Something is wrong. And mm-hmm. so for me, especially in the veteran world, like it's clear we just don't move enough. That's one thing. But like you said earlier, we abdicate a lot to specialists. We go to our doctor right away. But our doctors, they never prescribe exercise. They never prescribe healthy eating. They don't know what healthy eating is. I've met very few doctors that are actually in shape. You know, they're online, right. but they're not my doctor. Like I follow them on Instagram. I'd be like, oh, it'd be amazing if you were my doctor. We could have like a conversation about health and fitness. But
sure.
I've never met one. My doctor, I don't think he's listening to this podcast, but he's definitely not a model of health and fitness. So with that being said, you know, there has to be a different way, a better way. And in my opinion, it's A, taking care of the baseline fundamental habits. And I broke it down into basically five steps. And I call it the five R's because, well, I'm an infantry guy, so I like keeping things simple. So the first one is really like you got to remove. So you just remove like crap from your diet. Junk food is like the easiest thing to be aware mm-hmm. of. Just don't eat it, you know, replace it with other stuff, which is step two. So typically, like if you're eating like, you know, fries and stuff like that from fast food, like typically most guys are actually under eating, believe it or not. And their caloric intake is way too low and their protein intake is like non-existent. It's like, I call it 14-year-old girls level. Like they're eating less than 100 grams of protein a day. Like for any man, that's way too low. So you need to bump that up. Well, what does that mean? Well, you need to eat meat, man. You need to eat like steaks. You can have a burger, but like don't go hard at McDonald's. Like make it yourself. Like these little shifts can have a major impact. And then you need to realign things. So that's what I talked about in my book. Just, you know, make sure you move a little bit better. And then rebuilding is where you start doing a bit of strength training. And then after that, like we can look at repairing. So like that, then we can do some cool stuff that you see online, like getting in a cold bath, you know, looking at doing some red light therapy, like all the stuff, the sexy stuff that you think is going to be like the thing that's going to fix you. That's like at the tip of the pyramid. You don't need to worry about that unless you have all those other steps kind of taken care of first. So if you follow that kind of progression and be patient with yourself, this, and that's the biggest thing. If you expect to completely change everything about you, about your life and your habits in like 2 or 3 months and just be like, all right, I'm down 60 pounds. I feel good. You're not managing your expectations. It took right. you maybe a decade to add that 50, 60 pounds, you know, to maybe have diabetes, to maybe have high triglycerides. Well, give yourself at least a year to kind of sort things out to get closer to where you want to be. And just appreciate the fact that, hey, you're in the process. You're not going to be perfect. It's not going to happen like that. But at least you're learning and at least you're taking steps to become the person that is healthy rather than the unhealthy person who does occasionally do healthy things to, like, in a state of panic, fix things for a short period of time, but then revert back to your old habits. And that's essentially what we want to avoid.
Right. Yeah. Avoiding that kind of yo-yo, mm. you know, dieting, that type of thing where people lose weight. That's great. But then they put it all back on and then some, and then they go up and down and up and down. And that's not helpful. In the long run, you need that consistency like you're talking about. But you're also talking about the kind of generational thing. You know, maybe it's the movement, maybe it's the foods that we eat. I'm not sure the exact causes, but the other day, my wife and I, we had like old photo albums out and we were looking at pictures from when we were kids. And we had like the school photos that they have with like all the kids in your class, like all together. And there's like in those pictures, there's like maybe one kid who was overweight. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, like we'll see some of the kids like walking home from school. The school is half a mile from our house. It's like 70% of the kids are like overweight. It's crazy the difference. In just how many people are overweight. And we're not talking like centuries here as far as the difference goes. This is just over the course of a few decades that the entire youth of our society is getting to that point where they're overweight and they need to get moving and they need to change the foods that they eat in that instant gratification of having the tasty treats and all that kind of stuff. It might taste good, but look at what it's doing to you. The fries, yeah, the chips, the ice cream and the sodas and oh my God, just seeing just how much crap people put in their bodies. It's like, what are you doing? And then they're like, I can't believe I can't lose this weight. Well, I can, It's like, look at what you're doing. And just, kind of personal story about that. I found myself putting on a few pounds too. And I was like, okay, well, what do I need to do? Like, what am I doing habitually that I can cut out? And, I was snacking, after the kids went to bed or whatever, I was snacking on chips and, other crap that I didn't need to be having. So I was like, okay, well, I'm just not going to do that. And if I do, it's going to be like a one-off thing. It's not going to be like a every night kind of thing. They're drinking, more than I should. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to limit myself. I'm not going to drink, the way that I used to. And, it was just like slowly removing certain things that I was like, I don't need this in my life. And it was amazing how quick some of that weight came off. And I'm not saying like everything, like I'm, a model of physical fitness here, but it was just basic, simple things, like just remove some of those things. Move a little bit more too, but just removing some basic things, from your diet, it works wonders. It's crazy that more people don't recognize this, but you keep putting that crap in, it ain't going anywhere.
Yeah. Right? I would argue that actually most people, especially when you ask them, they know exactly what the problem is. Okay. You just said it's like, yeah, I'm probably drinking a little too much. And like, yeah, I'm snacking at night. It's just like, let's quantify that. And that's the beauty of working with a coach is you get your habits just put on display for you. And that's basically my job. To just have a real conversation, just like an NCO would be like, hey, your runtime, it's not good. Let's improve that. That's got to change. What are you doing to improve it? Well, when it comes to, putting on weight, and you're talking about kids, there's models out there, right? There's the eat less, do more model, which is typically what we're used to hearing. We hear it in the media. It's like the reason why you're fat is because you don't move enough and you eat too much. So there's some nuance to that, and I'll get into it. in terms of like calories in, calories out, that's what we call the CECO model. There's validity to it, right? If you want to lose weight, yeah, you got to be in a calorie deficit, all right? However, the analogy I like to use is that it's like if you get a chance to talk to Warren Buffett and ask him investing advice. And you go, Warren, oh my God, I got 2 minutes of your time, man. How did you do it? How'd you become a billionaire? You go, and he were to say, well, it's really actually quite easy, Scott. All you need to do is just spend less and save more. And you'd go, well, Warren, I know that. Thanks, bro. Can we refine that a little bit more? And the way I like to refine it is just that, you have to be in a caloric deficit, but in order to be in a caloric deficit, you have to know, A, how many calories do you need? And if you're not eating that amount of calories, your body is going to not be able to metabolically do the things that you want to do, like lose body fat. You have to turn the fire on in order to start getting rid of things like body fat. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to consume more protein. I always say, eat your protein. If you're going to eat one thing during the day, eat more protein. I don't care what source it comes from, although the best source is red meat. You can do shakes. I don't care. Just get your level up, because what that's going to do is going to make you feel full. And the reason why you're snacking is because you're just not getting enough nutrients. We're not dumb. We evolved over millions of years. You're able to recognize, hey, I'm hungry. And there's all this palatable food with salt and things that we need in order to survive. So we just go, yep, chips. Well, it's because you haven't had enough salt likely during the day. So you're going to have chips. Well, there's a lot of salt in meat, just potassium, sodium, all of them are in there. So if you just had a little bit more meat, you'd probably feel like $1 million. And that's just one simple thing. The other thing is, yeah, if your go-to is super palatable, highly processed foods, those foods are really, they've never existed. So our bodies go, whoa, what the shit is this? Like, what do I do with this? So you could, remove that just overnight and you'd probably see a dramatic change. And if you just ate single ingredient foods, now that's a massive change for people that have never cooked for themselves. And that is a whole other kettle of fish. But ultimately, I don't think, especially for kids, they need to do any more in terms of activity. Like, they've done studies with kids with accelerometers. And if you don't do a lot during the school day, they catch up when they go home. It's like they have an internal energy counter, and it's like they need to burn that off during the day. They'll maybe mess around and, like, you know, play tag with their sister later, or they'll just find a way to burn it. So I really think it's the food choices that folks are doing. And a lot of kids, man, they consume a lot of juice. We have a no juice policy at home. It's just no juice. If they want a treat, they'll get one of those mini Cokes and they're like, oh my God. Or they go to a birthday party and they're like, oh, Dad, I had 3 Cokes. I'm like, yeah, all right, cool. You know, like, get it in you. But right. We really limit the sugar consumption. We really limit any of the processed foods. And it's just a choice that me and my wife made, because the reason why I'm so sensitive to it is because I was a chubby kid growing up. I hated it. I didn't like going to the pool. It still messes with my head today, but it's one of the reasons why I'm in the fitness industry. I just couldn't stand not being, you know, quote unquote fit. And I never liked the way my body looked. And that's because I grew up chubby. And that's because we had, you know, Frosted Flakes for breakfast every day because, well, you gotta have breakfast, most important meal of the day. Well, yeah, sure. But they didn't put, like, in quotations, like, just make sure it's not sugary crap that's going to make you obese. And so that's all I ate, right? I ate milk with Frosted Flakes and just crushed boxes after boxes every morning. And then would have, you know, bologna and stuff like that and have a good meal for supper. Mom's a great cook, but it was just one of those things. I ended up getting fat because of it. My friends had the same diet, but they didn't. And I just think there's just more of it on the table than there used to be. And, you know, a lot of this is also not just my opinion. It's based on conversations I've had with really interesting guests on the podcast that are much more qualified to talk about it than I am. But ultimately, I think it's just a question of, hey, make some better food choices and eat more good food in terms of protein. And if you were to do that, man, it makes such a big change in your life. And that's what we talk about in the group, in the Veterans Getting Fit AF group. It's like, hey, how much did you eat today? Well, I had a granola bar. I had a bowl of yogurt. I want to watch my cholesterol. So then I had a grapefruit. I'm like, okay, I haven't heard a single source of protein there. Right. Oh, well, I have that at supper. I'm like, well, how much? They're like, oh, my wife gives me a little. Like, I'm like, man, you're like 200-pound dude. Like, what are you doing? Like, you're trying to lose weight. You're not going to lose weight that way. And that's kind of like the mind shift where you have to bring guys along and be like, look, this is going to be hard. You're going to eat more today. And next week, you're going to eat a little more. And the week after, you're going to eat a little more. And I guarantee you, you're going to lose weight. That is ultimately the hardest thing to get guys over that hump, because they've been conditioned for 20, 30 years that if you want to lose weight, you got to basically stop eating and just PT yourself into the ground so that you'll lose that body fat. But at a certain point, that never works. It might work in your 20s right. for a little bit, but in your 40s, forget about it. You're just going to be miserable. Kids are going to hate you. And then your work is just going to crash. And then your wife's going to be like, what's going on? And you'll be like, oh, honey, I'm on this new diet. You know, I lost 2 pounds, but I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick right. to it. You know, and then ultimately you have a binge down the road, and then you just go, screw it, man, my life sucks doing this, so I'm just going to go back to cookies, cake, and freaking Oreos. I don't know, you know?
Right, exactly. And you phrased it in the beginning of this really well when you said that you kind of have to add fuel to the fire in order for the fat to start coming off. If your body doesn't have anything to work with, the fuel that it needs to get rid of that fat, then how do you expect it to go anywhere? It's like, you know, loading up the back of a truck with all sorts of stuff, get it shipped, you know, packed up, ready to go, but you don't have gas in the truck, and the truck's not going anywhere. Right. It's just going to sit there, and you're going to keep trying to load more stuff into it, and it's just not going to go. And eventually you're going to run out of room. Like, I don't know.
Your metabolism is really interesting, right? Like, we've evolved over millions of years to just be the top predator on the planet. And there's a reason for that. Like, fat is a precious commodity. And we were never really able to get fat back in the day. Like, you could gorge, but we had this system. And that's where insulin really helps. So you can stuff your face, insulin shoots through the roof, it packs all of the places where glycogen, which is a storage molecule of glucose, mainly in your liver, then in your muscle cells. And then when those stores are full, so a guy like my size, I'm over 200 pounds. I have roughly like 10 plus pounds of glycogen on me. Now, when I burn through that, then what do I do? Well, your body doesn't go and say, well, I'm going to get muscle, because muscle is, again, that is crazy prioritized in terms of making sure that we can actually go hunt things and like stay strong in order to defend ourselves. So as a fuel reserve, we have this thing called fat, and it, for, you know, for us guys, it's stored right in the middle. So center of mass, we can still move around. We can still hunt. We don't get it in the arms and the legs. That would be weird. Plus it would slow us down. So when you start dipping into that, it's a great source of fuel. It's an amazing source of fuel. It's the best. It's like riding on premium gasoline. Okay. You're more acute. You got way more energy. But the thing is, most people never tap into that, because if you constantly stimulate your insulin levels with glucose, so sugary stuff, right? You're always going to be burning that sugar, because it goes, okay, well, I got to get rid of this, right? Because if you can't get rid of the sugar in your bloodstream, that's called diabetes. You'll eventually die. So the fat requires an extra layer of effort, and it requires your metabolism to be able to actually dip into those fat reserves. So in order to do that, you need to be active, and you need to not constantly be eating sugary crap. And typically you in a course of a day, you would eat maybe you gorge, but then you'd have a big break, and then your body would be like, well, where do I get my fuel from? Oh, I got this thing called fat. And so you'd always burn just a little bit, But we've gotten to the point where we just never burn body fat, and metabolism is the key to being able to burn that body fat. So if you have more muscle, your metabolism's higher, because it takes a lot of energy to keep that on. If you work out a little bit, that bumps up metabolism. If you eat protein, it's called a thermogenic effect. That bumps up your metabolism. It literally heats you up. It's called the meat sweats. Like, you go to eat like too many ribs, you're like, oh man, why am I so hot? It's the meat sweats, because your metabolism goes up to literally break down the protein molecules into amino acids. So you can see how, as you turn the thermostat up, you're going to be able to access the extra fuel that's just waiting for you, but you need to be able to turn the thermostat up in order to get to it. So that's where people often stumble. And also your body, as soon as it realizes like, hey, I'm in a low like energy mode, we're great at conserving energy. Like that is almost one of the points of our body. We get stronger to conserve energy the next time we do something. It breaks down a little muscle tissue and then rebuilds it stronger so that when you do it again, it's easier so we consume less energy. So if you've turned down your metabolism where you're not eating a lot, you're not exercising, those two things are going to contribute to your body going, okay, let's turn all the requirements way down. Cognitive function goes down. Everything goes down. Being able to repair muscle, being able to get rid of body fat goes way down because it wants to conserve, because it goes, well, we're in a low energy state. Cool. Let's conserve everything when things get real eventually. But for most people, they never get real. They never get bumped back up, you know? So you end up in this low energy state and then you just have a hard time getting rid of body fat. So it takes a little while to be able to start turning that engine back on, especially if it's been 20 years since you've been out of the service. You haven't done anything too strenuous. You've just done, you know, stressful work at maybe an office. It's going to take a little while for you to change gears. But when you do change gears, you recognize, oh, okay, things are starting to change. My body's to change. I feel better. And then you can, you know, carry on and move into a more healthy existence.
Just kind of one last point on this. And I think this is kind of along the lines, correct me if I'm wrong on this, along the lines of what you're talking about. But imagine you have a pan on the stove. You made some kind of fatty foods, you know, maybe it was a fatty meat or something like that. And it left the fat residue that just kind of cooled on the pan as it, right? And so you got that pan. Now, without any soap, just a, you know, like a dish rag and water, if you were to use cold water, it's going to take forever to get that fat out of the pan. But if you use hot water, it's going to start to melt it a little bit. It's going to start to liquefy. And it's going to come right out of the pan. Pretty damn easy. So same idea, I think, of what you're talking about is if you are trying to burn fat, literally the word burn, that equals heat in my mind. I don't know. If you're trying to burn fat, you need to do things that create heat. And so, like you're saying, eating protein, your body is going to create heat in just the digestion process, which will help burn fat in the long run. So, yeah, eat more meat. It makes complete sense. And hopefully what I was saying makes sense too. It was just kind of the analogy that
I'm stealing that analogy, by the way, Scott. Please do, yeah. That's a really good analogy. I'm going to totally use that next time on my calls. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. I know you got a book coming out too. Tell us about the book and what that book's all about.
Yeah. So it's off at the publisher right now. So I did my like last round of edits the other week. Excellent. And now I'm actually in the audiobook recording phase, which is a bit harder than I expected because you gotta be perfect with every word. Your diction has to be tight. Like I'm working on it. And I realized, man, it's going to take a lot longer than I expected. So the book is a summary of all the really cool conversations I had around fitness, health, nutrition, and mindset on the podcast. So I read Tools for Titans by Tim Ferriss. It was a great book. And I read the book. I was like, hold on a second. Like, he's got a ton more folks on his podcast. But I figured, you know what? I could do this at a scaled version with the folks that I've talked to so far and bring their insights and come up with a protocol based off of all of these experts. And I floated the idea to a publisher. Publisher said, this is an awesome idea. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And I said, wow, oh, wow, really? Okay, cool. Because before, this is a self-published book, The Nimble Warrior. So this one's an actually published book, and it's due out the end of this year. We're aiming for the fall of 2024. It's pretty ambitious, so I'm thinking it's going to be ready for Christmas time. And the intent is to really help the veteran community, but I mean anybody in general, right? I mean, we're all humans here. Sure. But there's a lot of context for veterans. We touch on mental health issues. We look at mild traumatic brain injury. I've chatted with, you know, Kelly Starrett, you name it, Cynthia Thurlow, all these folks that are in the health and wellness space, Jason Kalipa, the CrossFit Games champion, he's in there too. So you're going to get little snippets of their insights so you can summarize some of the really insightful episodes. And then at the end of the book, there's an actual protocol that you can follow along. And actually, I give a little sneak peek as to what that protocol is. In one of my pages for folks that want to, you know, be on the pre-sale list and get the early dibs, so to speak, on the new book, which doesn't have a title as of yet. I'm really conflicted as to what to call it. But that being said, it's going to be basically like a field manual for folks that want to get fitter and healthier based off some really good conversations I've had on the podcast.
That's excellent. Having a summary of that stuff, because, you know, over time, so many episodes that you end up doing. And again, just like we were saying before, there is so much information that's out there. Some of it good, some of it bad. And you don't know like what to take in. You got so much information available, which is great. But is someone just starting right now, going from episode one, if they're going to dive into it, it's a daunting task to look into it. Right. But if you can
200 plus hours, man, it's 200 plus hours. That's a tall order for some folks.
That is, it is. I mean, even if you got an hour commute, you know, to work each day, you know, or, you know, half hour to work, half hour back or whatever. And, you know, it's an hour a day. We're talking 200 hours. That's your whole year of podcast listening, you know, every day going to work. And then by the time you're done, you're not actually done, cause you're putting out more episodes.
Yeah, exactly. You've done the 200 hours. Yeah. There's another 60 that you've now accumulated, cause there's at least two going. Extra episodes every month, every week. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And in addition to that, you also have to find time to implement some of these things, and some of it
right.
might not even be relevant to what you're going through. Like if you're just in that initial early stage of your fitness journey, you don't, like you said, you don't need that top of the pyramid quite yet. You'll get there. You know, if you keep putting in the consistent effort, you'll get there, but right now you probably don't need that. So you might be listening to stuff that maybe is confusing or leading you in the wrong direction, because that's not what you need quite yet. But when you get the summary, you can kind of take a look at it and, you know, apply the relevant pieces to your diction. And you're talking about, you know, recording the audiobook. That for me was a nightmare when I recorded mine. I was like, oh, this is going to be so easy. They're my words. I wrote the book. I should be able to just read it. Well, stupid me. I can't read and talk at the same time like that. Like I'm trying to do it. And I'm like, oh yeah, I know what the next word is on that next line. I can. And then I look at it and I'm like, that's not the word at all. I got to go back and redo this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that I'm noticing, I don't know if you experienced the same thing too. I'm reading it aloud and I realize, oh, I want to change that. Oh, but it's already at the editor. So
it's already done. Yeah.
Kind of too late. And I go, and then that process would never end. And then the book would never go out. Right.
You kind of just have to grin and bear it and deal with it.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
It's out of your hands.
Yeah, exactly. So
version two of this book will have a couple changes to it and little tweaks, I'm sure.
Well, that's what I did here, actually, on the one that's on the on display there. My version one, when I literally got it back from the printer, I opened it up and like page two, I'm like, there's a spelling mistake. I was like,
oh no,
I looked over this thing a million times. I had somebody else look it over, but it is what it is, right? When you self-publish. So there's some grammar stuff too. And even folks are like, oh, hey, I noticed on this page. I'm like, Got it. Thanks. Okay. So it gives me an excuse.
I'll add it to the list.
Yeah, I'll add to the list of edits. So I changed it and I released a second edition that was a bit cleaner and just with less spelling mistakes.
Yeah. So. I like how you said less and not none.
There's still some spelling mistakes. I know. Even though I was a teacher. And on top of that, I guess having the spelling mistakes give it a bit more credibility that I was in the infantry. Sure. So I made sure to keep a few in there. You know, it's kind of like my rationale.
I was just going to say, you know, we're talking about two books written by two infantry guys. There's going to be some mistakes in it.
There's got to be.
We got that. Directionally though, it's good. Just go with it. The direction is where you want to be. So the book, we can look forward to it kind of later this year, Christmas time, maybe, hopefully. Hopefully it's out a little bit sooner than that, so we can get some of those Christmas orders in and people can start on their New Year's resolution by cracking open that book.
That's the goal.
Hopefully they take the consistency message to heart, though, because a lot of times these New Year's resolutions are they fail because they're not consistent with it. They just go back into their old habits, and that's why they don't work.
When euphoria meets reality,
huge explosion.
it's 3 weeks, right? It's 3 weeks of like all out, I'm in, and then because. When you rely on just like the emotion and the elation and the adrenaline of getting something started, like anything, you feel great when you're starting. Like, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is awesome. Things are going to change. But then you realize I got to do boring stuff. It's true. Once you get into the weeds, it's just, you got to do that same workout again. Just add a little bit more weight. You got to do that same walk again. Just maybe, I don't know, maybe go a little bit further. And until you realize that it's the motivation and like it disappears really quickly, and then you just have to rely on discipline, like Jocko says, discipline is freedom. That's what it comes down to. And we all, if we're all veterans listening to this or folks that have had any military service, we're all disciplined folks. We all found the discipline to do our jobs. So you just have to find a way to tap back into that. And there's a way. There's a way. And you can't have a coach necessarily your entire life, per se. So how are you going to find it is the journey, right? You might get coached for a year, might get coached for two. Right? Maybe you could catch a coach for three. But at a certain point, it's like, hey, I got this. I'm going to do my own thing.
And part of that discipline that you have in the military that you're just talking about comes from the fact that there are processes that you can follow, right? There are ways that you do certain things and you just follow that and you do that. And it works when you follow those processes. Get the book. We'll announce what the name is when Dave gets the name of the book, of his new book. We'll put it out there. It'll be on social media. Dave will let me know what it is, and we'll update everything with that. But get the coach too. Keep you accountable. Sometimes it's hard to keep yourself accountable until you have those habits, those routines, the things that you do day after day after day after day, and then to the point where it feels weird when you don't do it, when you don't go for that walk, or when you don't, lift those weights, or whatever it is that your thing is, whatever your activity is, when you don't do that, you're like, man, I didn't do that today. I kind of feel a little weird. Like, why do I feel weird about this? Well, it's because you didn't do it. Tomorrow, get on it, get back into it, everyone's going to have an off day every now and again, right? It's not like that's not going to happen. But in the beginning, you got to be disciplined. You got to make sure that every single day you're following that, so you build that habit. And I think that's kind of the point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. To really exemplify that point, in the group right now, we're doing the 3,000 rep challenge. So in the month of July, you need to do 3,000 reps of whatever exercise you want to do. It could be toe touches. It doesn't matter.
Sure.
The point is you commit and you do it. So it's 100 reps a day. So for me, it's kettlebell swings. I like doing them. It's a great way to keep my fitness level relatively stable. Even if I don't go to the gym that day, I can do heavy ones. I can do light ones. Like today, my back's not great, so I did really light swings. Doesn't matter. I just do it. Mm-hmm. And like you said, when you don't do it, you're like, ah, man, I really got to get the swings in. It's like,
yeah,
oh, it's 8 p.m. I didn't do them yet. All right, I guess I'm doing it watching Netflix. So you, you end up creating the discipline, right? Because and for me, I like doing those things, not just for the folks in my community, but for myself as well. It keeps me accountable because I'd be kind of a jerk if I was like, hey guys, we're doing the 3,000 rep challenge, and then I just don't do my reps. There's nobody seeing me do them. Yeah, I post a video, but I mean, my soul would be hurt if I was like, yeah, guys, do those 3,000 reps. Yeah, I got mine all done, but I didn't actually do them. Like, what kind of person would I be if that's what I was doing? So the goal is to establish consistency in your training and just make it that habit. And, you know, 100 reps of anything, so long as it's not, you know, like heavy, heavy deadlifts, you can get it done in a few minutes. So And yeah, sure, it may not get you to that 20 minutes of activity during the day, but it's at least done something. And if you can build upon that, you know, I typically like to say, like, build your no fail mission for the day. 100 reps is a lot. You know, like, a lot of people come out of the gates and they're like, I'm going to do 20 pushups every day. It's like, have you done one pushup in the last 2 months? It's probably a little too much. So why don't we just make it almost no fail? Why don't we just say, I'm going to do a wall sit for 15 seconds every day. Like, you don't have to get on the floor. You don't have to put on shoes. You just need to go lean up against a wall and like hold yourself. That's really simple, right? Yes. Could you do that every day? Yes. Is there anything getting in the way of you doing that every day? No.
No.
Right. And you could do it watching TV if that's really something that you like to do. So do it, you know, and mm-hmm. it eliminates barriers to folks just, and it builds on that principle where the more you do, the more you're going to do. And it creates a positive feedback loop. And that's all you want to do, is just create a positive feedback loop going in the positive direction. I call it the Dave Morrill power cycle, man. The more you do, the more you want to do. But in the opposite direction, it's Dave Morrill downward spiral of shit. If you start not breaking those contracts with yourself, you're like, oh, I said I was going to do that 15 seconds, but I'll do it tomorrow. And then it gets to tomorrow and you're like, I'll double up the next day. Well, now you're breaking those contracts. Now you don't feel great about yourself. Now you're starting to think, well, if I just don't do it, it's okay. Nobody's really paying attention.
And it gets easier. It gets easier to not do it when you don't do it, because you've already rationalized it to yourself. Like, why am I not doing it? Well, I'll just do more tomorrow. Well, you never do more tomorrow. Like, tomorrow, you know, it's like, forget about that. Like, what's going on right now? What's going on today? That's what you need to be worried about. And that's where the focus needs to be. Right. Yeah. Awesome. Been awesome having you on the show. Awesome talking about fitness and all these other things. I think this is just a super awesome group. Where can people go to find out more about the group? You know, the community that you have, Veterans Getting Fit AF, and all that.
The easiest thing to do is to go and get my world's easiest workout plan. You don't need an email address. You don't need to give me anything. You just need to go to go.hardtokill, spell it all out, .org/easy. I'll send you the link. Okay. You guys can click on that. Learn about it. Apply it. There's a link there to join the community afterwards if you think that'd be a good fit. Love to have you there. More the merrier. We're just getting started. We're bringing on guest lecturers. We're talking about strength training for those that are interested in strength training. We've got subject matter experts in toxic exposure. We're bringing on folks that I would normally have in the podcast, but just to have intimate conversations with these individuals, so you don't have the distance of the actual podcast app there, so you can actually chat with these folks. Additionally, if you want to become one of the first to hear about updates from the book that I'm launching, and I just thought of this idea, I'm like, man, the folks that are on the list, maybe we could, because I'm struggling to figure out what the title is going to be. Maybe we can get some suggestions from those folks that are on the list. But it's go.davemorrow.net/book teaser. And I'll share with you that link as well. And you'll drop your email in there, and then you'll get some updates as to what's going on in terms of the book, and also some tips and tricks on how to get harder to kill.
Awesome. And I'll put all those links that you mentioned in the show notes, so you don't have to write all that stuff down. It'll be there. You can click it on it.
Old school. Like, okay, how do, yeah.
Go dot what? shit.
Man. Like web 1.0, 1999 style. Yeah.
So yeah, those links will be easy to find. Make it easy. And it'll happen. And so, okay, cool. So we got that. Before we wrap up the show, I like to end with a little bit of humor. And I got this video that I found the other day, and it's a segment of a Medal of Honor ceremony. President Obama is awarding a Medal of Honor.
I think I know which one you're talking about.
You think you know which one I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay. So it's the Medal of Honor ceremony for Staff Sergeant Ryan Pitts. And it's funny as hell. and typically I do what's called a Is It Service Connected segment, and we kind of look at people doing stupid stuff and laugh at them and make fun of them and all that kind of stuff because they fell down and hurt themselves, and then it's like, well, are they gonna get disability for whatever they did? But in this case, this is not that. This is something totally different, although his ego may be bruised a little bit, but I think he's earned it. So let me share my screen with you right now so we can see what's going on. Right now, for the audio only listeners, I'm going to try to describe the scene right now. We got a Medal of Honor ceremony. If you've seen one of those, it's pretty much the same deal. President Obama is there, and we got Staff Sergeant Ryan Pitts off on the other side. He's looking at Obama right now. And let me just make sure this volume is up so you can hear it, because you're going to need to hear it. And then we'll talk about what goes on after, once when this is done.
Machine gun fire. And
so he's describing the incident.
Grenades poured down from every direction. And those 200 insurgents were firing from ridges and from the village and from trees. Down at the base, a vehicle exploded, scattering its missiles back at our soldiers. It was, said a soldier, hell on earth. Up at their tiny post, Ryan and his team were being pounded. Almost instantly, every one of them was wounded. Ryan was hit by shrapnel in the arm and both legs and was bleeding badly. Already three American soldiers in that valley.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing right now. And I've seen this, I probably watched this like five times before we started recording.
Took all his willpower, man. That was all his willpower in
everything like, he had.
5 seconds. I mean,
it might as well have been the Taliban, you know, sitting there pounding him. I'm using that word again, pounding him. When Obama said that they were getting pounded, the look on his face was like, wait, did the Commander in Chief just really just say that? He said we're getting pounded, and the little smirk that he had. Oh my God! I'm gonna try to highlight that with like on when I edit this episode and kind of put it in there. I'm gonna try to like just draw a circle around like now. Look at it now, yeah. At that point. But that little smirk, you know, was oh my God! I probably would have been cracking up during this whole thing, but
yeah, because like all the million things that go through your head at that time is like, oh, it's a Medal of Honor ceremony. I'll be disrespecting like all those guys and gals that came before me. But in the meantime, it's like you're just a grunt, and
you're gonna laugh at that.
You got dark humor, man.
Yeah, like, of course.
It's like, bro, the president just said we were getting pounded.
But in all seriousness, though, for the listeners and everyone, check out this Medal of Honor ceremony. Really, he just describes more in more detail, and more than just this one little short funny segment of it, which it wasn't intended to be funny. It just happened to be that way. But it's on YouTube. It's a 20-minute Medal of Honor ceremony. Truly a heroic incident that this guy went through. He went through hell, and you know, hats off to him and all the other Medal of Honor recipients who went through hell to do what they do. But also, you know, thank you to Staff Sergeant Ryan Pitts for giving us this little bit of humor that we can we can kind
of
get him
on the show.
I'm gonna reach out and see if I can get him on the show. And it's like the smirk that did it. But man, anyways, Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show, shedding some light on, you know, some of the issues that we all are dealing with in the veteran community here regarding fitness. We didn't even get into how it really ties into mental health. We can get into that maybe another time, but you know, like all of this stuff here, really, I think it's critical for veterans and their well-being and overall, just, yeah, their overall well-being. And you know, having this platform where folks can come together and get the help that they need, I think is super important. So thank you again for what you're doing, and thank you for taking the time to come on.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, buddy. It's always a pleasure, and keep on doing what you're doing, man. You're going to be one of the top podcasts. You keep on going for another 5 years, man. It's just inevitable. So
inevitable. It's just consistency, right?
Consistency is key.
There you go. All right. Thanks again.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.